Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 3rd, 2019. Dong Samuel Luak's friend remembers what happened before the lawyer's death.
Michael Kwajien, who was also informed on the morning of 24th January by John Top that your friend Dong did not reach his house yesterday, had a voice recording with John Top, where John Top claimed that Dong and Agri are in custody of the Kenyan Department of Criminal Investigation on directive of the Kenyan National Security Service.
And what does the World Press Freedom Day mean for Sudanese?
For example, now, still after 1 month of the revolution, we cannot talk about the military council, for example, because you know very well this is a very sensitive issue and it can create great problems for us.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. One of Dong Samuel Luak's friends say there is a phone record indicating that a South Sudan national security operative worked with Kenyan security to kidnap Agri Isborn Idri and Luak from Nairobi. Luke Thompson Twan says he testified at a court hearing against the government of Kenya and presented the audio as part of evidence in the case of the disappearance of the two South Sudanese government critics. The UN panel of experts' latest report states that Luak and Idri were likely killed in Juba by the national security officers. Thompson says Kenyan authorities handed Idri and Luak to South Sudanese national security.
Actually, Dong called someone, his friend, by name Michael Kwajien, at around 6 p.m. and asking him about his whereabouts in town. So Kwajien informed him that we were at Dream Beans coffee shop along Koinange Street in Nairobi downtown near Ecobank. So Dong joined us later on after approximately 20 minutes. But prior to that, he was in Sabana coffee shop in town together with friends, including Judge Buthrul Onchain, Islain Agri Idiri, and Leila Lokosang of African Union, among others. So when he joined us at Dream Beans, he got us also in company of mixed sitting of 10 individuals, including some officials of the regime. As usual, we were sharing views on how peace could return to our troubling nation. So after a few minutes past nine, we call off our sitting and disperse for our bus station. I and Michael live in the same residential area, Kul Omoja. So on our way, before we could reach our station, Michael told me that Dong was concerned of John Top's today attitudes or behavior.
This John Top, what is he? Who is he? Who does he work for?
John Top worked for the regime of Juba. He is seconded to the national security.
What is his role? I mean, a lot of people work at the national security, but what is the role of this John Top?
Probably you would say he is assigned in Nairobi to monitor activities of the activists and those who are opposed to the regime politically in the armed oppositions.
It's my understanding that you gave a testimony at a court in Nairobi during the hearing of the case of the disappearing of Samuel Dong. What testimonies did you give to the court?
You will recall Amnesty International had filed a case of habeas corpus against the state of Kenya. When that case was filed, Michael Kwajien, who was also informed on the morning of 24th January by John Top that your friend Dong did not reach his house yesterday, had a voice recording with John Top, where John Top claimed that Dong and Agri are in custody of the Kenyan Department of Criminal Investigation on directive of the Kenyan National Security Service. So I persuaded Michael to surrender that tape to Amnesty International lawyers so as to strengthen the filed case of habeas corpus. He agreed to surrender the recording, and I facilitated the handing over of that recording to Amnesty International, who I believe is still keeping their custody until today.
And did you listen to that recording? Because these are very crucial evidence that you're talking about here. Did you listen to the recording?
I listened to the recording. It is charged with a lot of important information in it. It was transcribed, reviewed and evaluated also by the lawyers of Amnesty International, and it was used as a prosecutorial affidavit on the strength and substance of it in the court in Kenya.
And this recording is between who and who, and what were they discussing specifically?
Between Michael Kwajian and John Top.
And where
between
are these,
Michael Kwajian and John Top.
Yeah, where are these individuals right now as we speak?
Michael Kwajian is currently in East Africa, and John Top is in Juba.
In the audio that was given to Amnesty International, John Top was saying Agri Idri and Samuel Dong were in the custody of the Kenyan Criminal Investigation Department.
Yes.
How did the case proceed?
By the time this audio recording was played in court, and when a transcribed version was submitted as an affidavit also in court by the Amnesty International lawyers, the court from then, John Top was ordered for arrest. And the head of Kenyan National Security Service, the head of Kenyan Criminal Investigation Service, and the head of Kenyan Immigration Service were summoned to answer allegations leveled against them by John Top in his communication with Michael Kwajian. In this point, when the Amnesty International lawyers submitted to that effect, the court deferred the hearing to undisclosed date. And from then, we were never called back to court for hearing. And John Top was never arrested.
That's Luke Thompson, Tuan, a senior member of the SPLM-IO and a close friend of Dong Samuel Luak. He was speaking to me from Khartoum earlier today. In the second part of this interview, which airs on Monday, Thompson talks about the relationship between first Vice President Taban Dengai, Agri Isbon Idri, and Dong Samuel Luak. On this World Press Freedom Day, some South Sudanese journalists say there are more restrictions on the press than in the past. They say if the current situation continues, which they say could happen even under new unity government, majority of citizens will remain uninformed about their government's programs and policies. Onan Walter Solomon has this report for VOA from Juba.
30-year-old Majak Daniel, a Juba-based stranger for the Chinese news agency Xinhua, says because of government restrictions, many journalists prefer to cover press conferences, especially those organized by government agencies, rather than to go about investigating sensitive stories for fear of government reprisals.
In this country now, the only easiest stories to get, government normally call for press conference, and this whereby they normally allow journalists. No matter how many number of journalists come from the same media houses. But as a journalist, to initiate your own story angle, like you want to investigate some issues to do with human rights violation, issues to do with the concern for the security of the common good of everybody, you will not be given access to get these stories. And these are the things that matters most to the people.
Sebit William, who works for United Nations on Radio Mirror, says that the government will be affected if it continues to restrict press freedoms because journalists will be unable to report on government programs and policies during and after the yet-to-be-formed government of national unity.
The people will need to know about the voter registration process. They need to know about how to go and vote and all that.
Daniel and William say the government should allow journalists report freely on the peace process and how citizens are rebuilding their lives after more than 5 years of conflict. Daniel says certain government agencies mandated to regulate the media are instead gauging the media.
The media institutions that are supposed to regulate the media work and ethic in this country and not in cooperation with the practitioners, particularly the media authority. The media authority seem to be looking at journalists as like competitors, antagonistic part to the government, which is not true.
Daniel advises government officials to see journalists as partners in disseminating the peace agreement to the grassroots level and creating awareness on government programs. At an event marking World Press Freedom Day in Juba today, Jalu Saidou Sirer, head of UNESCO in South Sudan, argued that democratic societies exist because of the work of independent media.
Impunity for crimes committed against journalists is a threat that affects all our societies. This threat requires us to be constantly vigilant. We must act together to protect the freedom of expression and safety of journalists.
Ani Rashidi, head of the Human Rights Unit at the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, hailed reporters for the work they do under difficult conditions.
There's no society without press. Whether media, broadcast, TV, radio, paper, online, all of them have the same aim, to tell the truth.
No government officials were present at the UN-sponsored event. For VOA News, I am Onen Walter Solomon in Juba.
A veteran Sudanese journalist says the media freedom experienced in Sudan after the protests is just temporary. Osman Margani, editor-in-chief of Al Tayar Arabic newspaper, says the Sudanese protest, which led to the oust of former President Omar al-Bashir, has created a good environment for journalists. He says the impact of 30 years of repressive media laws has forced many journalists to self-censor. Margani says many newspapers are still afraid to write stories about the country's new military rulers.
During the former regime of Bashir, we faced so many things. During the first 10 years, most of the independent newspapers are not allowed to be published in Khartoum. And after that, they allowed the independent private newspaper to be published in Khartoum. They used to make some censorship to this newspaper by monitoring and screening every article before going to the printing. This continues for almost 10 years. And after that, they use another new way to punish the newspaper. They try to make it very difficult for the newspaper financial-wise because they confiscate all the copies after printing them, and that will create a great loss, financial loss for the newspaper.
For the last 3 years, they confiscated your papers 80 times.
80 times, and they closed the newspaper totally for almost 3 years. The total time they closed my newspaper is equal to 3 years.
How about your journalists? Were there some of your journalists who were arrested?
Yes, at any time they can arrest any journalist if they want. The reason for the detention, because he wrote something which is not allowed by the security. And sometimes because someone, maybe one of the leaders, the NCP leaders, the leaders of the ruling party, is not happy with the article, then he can order the security to arrest any one of the journalists. And I have been detained so many times during the former regime.
Tell me, now that there is a change in Sudan, I mean, it's almost a month and going, how is the environment? I hear you are now free to write whatever you want to write. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we can write everything. Now we enjoy the freedom of expression. But I don't think this will continue for a long time because we are still under the pressure of the revolution and the uprising people are still there in front of the headquarters of the army. But to make sure that this will continue, this should be done in a normal environment. I mean, after the formulation of the presidential council and the ministerial council and the parliament, and then everything when it goes to the normal state, and the end after the end of the emergency state, which is declared already now in Sudan, then we can measure whether it will continue the freedom of expression or not.
How about the media council? I understand there used to be a media council in Khartoum where all journalists are supposed to be reporting to them, and they are supposed to give accreditation to journalists. Is that council still operational?
It's still operational, but they are, because, you know, this is only 1 month, they are not in the scene. Nobody, they never try to intervene in what is going right now. If they see anything which is not allowed according to the law, they try now to neglect these things for, at least for the time being, because you still, you know, it's only 1 month after the revolution. But I think this council most probably will be changed after the revolution. I mean, the people and the because this council now is completely governmental council. It's not, we don't have journalists inside this council, but I think it will be changed.
You're telling me during Bashir's 30 years, life has been very difficult for journalists in Sudan. Apart from that, are there any other issues facing journalists in Sudan?
Yeah, for example, now, still after 1 month of the revolution, we cannot talk about the military council, for example, just for example, because you know very well this is a very sensitive issue and it can create great problem for us. So we try to avoid it. So I cannot say we have full freedom of expression, but because we are trying to make sure that not to touch some sensitive issues that can create great problem for us.
What are the Sudanese journalists doing to ensure that this freedom exists forever?
Yeah, if we want to make this freedom of expression to sustain for a longer time, we have to make sure this should be done through the law. I mean, we have to change the press law, which is ruling the press right now. This law should be changed to reflect the freedom of expression and to ensure that the freedom of expression cannot be touched or affected by any other external things.
That's Osman Margani, editor-in-chief of the Al-Tayar newspaper. He was speaking with me from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, earlier today. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we have more stories on the World Press Freedom Day and how journalists are allowed to do their work in Cameroon. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Tell us one of your favorite proverbs and what it means.
Two ways are better than one. I like it a lot because it tells you that when two people do something, there will be good results.
Never scratch your brother's back with a knife when facing a known situation. This simply means when you have a problem, instead of us looking at the problem as one people, we are dividing ourselves. You are fighting your brother and then the enemy who is coming from somewhere.
And basically it means that a banana yields well when you take good care of it. Mostly people use it for men who don't take care of their wives, and you just go out there, you want a ready-made thing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Journalists in Cameroon are protesting what they say are abuses by both government and separatists fighting for the independence of the English-speaking areas. More than 24 journalists say they have been arrested or threatened since the separatist conflict began. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Hundreds of English-speaking journalists in Cameroon took part in conferences and peaceful protests Friday to talk about their experiences covering the separatist conflict in the English-speaking areas. Journalist Geraldine Fobang, president of the Cameroon Community Media Network, says police detained her on March 14 for leading journalists in a peaceful march demanding their rights to be respected.
I stayed under incarceration for over 3 hours. I was molested and intimidated. The atmosphere is not free and fair for us to practice journalism. We are just afraid. It is my wish that stakeholders give peace a chance and provide us an enabling environment to practice as a journalist.
Journalist Macmillan Ambe says he was abducted by separatist fighters in the city of Bamenda last February after he criticized their call for families to keep their children out of school.
They followed my TV productions over Waka Africa TV and they said I was canvassing for school's resumption. When you do an article, separatist or the military, they want to get facts to show that you are supporting A in this article or that you are supporting B in this article, and at the end of the day, it becomes very worrying.
The Cameroon Association of English-Speaking Journalists says many reporters in the North, West and South West English-speaking regions have either abandoned their profession or fled to safer localities. Amos Fufang, former reporter with the Guardian Post newspaper, fled to the United States after he was arrested with three other journalists and detained in a prison in Yaoundé for 6 months. He says he was released after authorities investigated all his articles and social media accounts.
The day I was actually being released, I was told that I should refrain from reporting on the Anglophone crisis. And that's why after my release, I decided to stay mute.
Since the separatist crisis began in 2017, at least 15 journalists report they have been threatened by separatists. Authorities, meanwhile, have arrested at least 12 reporters and charged them with terrorism or propagating false information. All but one have been released. Dide Kaba, director in charge of media affairs at Cameroon's Ministry of Communication, rejects the idea journalists are persecuted by the government.
Les données qui sont à jour sont celles. De l'année 2018.
He says the fact that Cameroon has more than 500 newspapers, 150 radio stations, and 20 television channels indicates the media is thriving and that journalists practice their profession without any intimidation. However, in its 2019 World Press Freedom Index, Reporters Without Borders ranked Cameroon 131st in the world, down 2 places from 2018. It said arbitrary detention and prosecution of journalists continue to be frequent. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
South Sudan parties meeting for 2 days in Addis Ababa have agreed to extend the pre-transitional period for up to 6 months, as demanded by the SPLM-IO. Some opposition groups want the security arrangements finished before a new government is formed. Winnie Chirino has more for VOA from Juba.
The parties now have until November 12th to form a unity government, and during that time, the parties are expected to complete security arrangements and settle on the number of states and their boundaries. No additional extensions will be granted. James Cook, a senior research fellow and political analyst at the Juba-based Center for Strategic Policy Studies, applauds the parties for extending the pre-transitional period so they can accomplish what needs to be done before forming the new government. Cook says the politicians should back off for now and eventually endorse whatever technocrats come up with on states and boundaries and security arrangements.
What remains now is for most of those politicians to take their end off from the technical work so that the real technocrats can do the work in time without politicization of a lot of these, especially in the security sector. They need a quiet time to do what they are supposed to do as technocrats, far away from the meddling by the politicians.
The peace deal stipulated the government of national unity should be formed once the activities in the pre-transitional period are executed, but George Kagar, president of the African National Congress, says it did not spell out what should happen in the event if those activities fail to be carried out on time.
There are no provisions in the agreement which can allow the government to be formed when things in the pre-interim are not complete. Also, there is no provision in the agreement which allows extension.
While marking the World Press Freedom Day in Juba, Thompson Fortin, Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy at the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, says the government and opposition discussed their differences yesterday.
What we saw happen yesterday was that the government, along with the FDs and the OPP, indicated their preference for having the government formed on the 12th, but the SPLM-IO and SOA indicated a preference for an extension.
Joseph Okel Abango, chairperson of United Sudan African Party, or USAP, says the extension should have been deducted from the 3 years of the transitional period.
We are for extension, but if you extend, you will take this number of months, according to my view. They will be taken away from the 3 years. You cannot add extra 6 months or 3 months.
Kongor is urging IGAD to continue to consult widely with political actors in South Sudan to keep the peace process moving forward. Sources say President Salva Kiir met today with First Vice President Taban Dengai and Vice President James Waniga to discuss the matter. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
That report by my colleague Winnie Chirino in Juba brings us to the end of our show for this Friday. We wish all of you a happy Press Freedom Day. We now leave you with the song and a guide by Crazy Fox.
Me can't be a refugee in my own country. I'm a mashi, I'm a mind of my own big people. I'm a guy, Saladin Nutala, suppose in a heart. Fox and a guy, I'm a mashi, I'm a mind of my own big people. I'm a guy, Saladin Nutala, suppose in a heart. Fox and a guy, I'm a asma gali, set that dollar because it's a battalion.
We have been listening to Crazy Fox with the song and a guide, which means I have nowhere to go. I'm here to stay. I'm John Tanza in Washington, and thanks for making our show part of your evening. Enjoy your weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Lakin ana mu feliz, ana my logis, oh,